Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Romo Seltzer.
Tonight, Romo Seltzer's Vox Pop travels to Washington, D.C. and its 200th exclusive war service program. Your two Vox Poppers, Fox Johnson and Warren Hull, are guests of the Employees Association of our State Department in the large and beautiful presidential room of the Hotel Statler. Come in, Fox and Warren, in Washington.
Say, look, Warren, the State Department is such a tremendous thing. 55 divisions, over 3,500 employees in this country alone. So how are we going to cover tonight? I can't
hear. We'll have to ask George Burns and Gracie Allen to give us their half hour following it. Even that wouldn't be enough, would it? You know, folks, we've learned one important thing this weekend, and that is the big job of the State Department is to act as liaison between the people of our country and the people of all other countries in order to foster goodwill and cooperation between us.
We can only begin to describe the State Department in this half hour, and I know no better way to start than to look at the head man through the eyes of one of his secretarial clerks. She and I are on stage now. In front of us, in the Statler's presidential room, are some 2,000 State Department folks and their friends. And, of course, you at home with your radios. Young, pretty, red-haired, and a dimple in each cheek. That's an easy way to describe her. Alert, efficient, loyal. That's another way. She's the wife of an infantry lieutenant who was wounded in Anzio and is still overseas in Italy. Folks, one of the Secretary of State's secretarial clerks, born in Washington, D.C., Mrs. John O. Totten, Jr. You stay right in front of me.
Hold on to it.
Don't speak it. Miss Totten, I noticed around the State Department everybody called you Lou. Is that right?
That's right, Mike.
It's all right if I say Lou and go right ahead, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Lou, first about you and then about the boss.
The boss?
Yeah.
My husband or Mr.
Ciccinius? Well, I meant Mr. Ciccinius.
Oh.
Of course, your real boss is way over there in Italy, isn't he?
That's right.
All right, about you. Is anybody besides your husband in uniform?
Well, I had two brothers in uniform, one in the Army and one in the Navy, and a brother-in-law in the Navy.
Well, you're pretty well represented in that family,
oh,
huh?
Yes.
When did you hurt in the hubby last? How long ago?
Let's see, what's today? Monday?
Today is Monday. Saturday,
Saturday.
Huh? Have you been long at the State Department?
Well, I started working in the State Department in June 1942.
And how long have you been with Mr. Stettinius?
Since January 1944.
Oh, that's over a year, isn't it?
That was when he was undersecretary.
I see. Is he pretty fast on his dictation?
Well, I think he is, and he's noted for his quick drinking and fast dictation.
How fast does he dictate?
Oh, about 175, 200 words a minute.
Boy, that's going some when you can keep up with that. Aren't you a nervous wreck? How can you type that thing neatly when you get through with it?
Oh, you just have to. Why? Get to it.
You say you have to?
Uh-huh. Oh, he demands neat work, and he appreciates a good job, so...
Bang
just
up,
get
huh?
it done. Oh, bang up job all the time.
On everything,
mm-hmm,
huh?
That's right.
Say, is there any one quality that stands out in your mind right now about Mr. Stettinius?
Well, he has a very remarkable memory, I think.
Memory? Got a good memory. What kind of things does he remember?
What's sticking out in my mind now are the little wrong things I've done would like to forget.
No, you can't kid me. I've heard too much about you, and if he has to remember any little wrong things you do... They are few and far between, young lady, because we happen to know about you. I understand, I read in a magazine that he starts his work pretty early in the morning, is that right?
That's right, sometimes even at 7.
Oh,
he's always working.
That's at home, though, huh?
That's at home, uh-huh.
He's busy all the time?
Mm-hmm.
No loafing?
Oh, no, definitely not. He's always on the job.
Does he sign your letters while you're present?
Oh, yes, he does, uh-huh. And even at times when he's signing his letter, he'll say, well, tell me something, so that he just can't. He can keep his mind occupied all the time. He's busy.
A busy man. No wonder things are moving around our State Department nowadays. So Mrs. Hold the deal. I think of you as Lou, Mrs. Totten. Do you think Mr. Stettinius will lose a certain red-haired secretary when a certain lieutenant gets back from Italy?
I think that's quite possible.
You wouldn't be at all surprised
no,
at that, would you?
Well,
neither would
surprised.
We. Well, it's been fun having you with us and interesting to talk about the boss, Mr. Stettinius. And when he gets back, your real boss over in Italy, here's something that Romo Seltzer thinks that both you and he will enjoy using. Dave is bringing out a beautiful four-piece antique silver tea service from the Latch String Shop.
Oh,
you like
beautiful.
It? Oh, well, I'm glad you like it. And for a very pretty young matron, a lovely and smart violet-colored Strook spring suit.
Oh, my God.
Is it all right?
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, thank you a lot. I'm glad you like it. And thank you, Mrs. John O'Tarton, Jr. Okay, Warren, you're next.
When we tell you this man's title, you'll get some idea of the ramifications of the State Department. He's chief of the air transport section in the aviation division of the Office of Transportation and Communications. Now, that office is one of the 12 main offices in the State Department. He's worked in the distinguished old State Department building for 14 years. He's married with two little babies, and home is Washington. John O. Bell. John, I'm just wondering if you're one of those rare birds, a native Washingtonian.
No, I was born in the Philippine Islands. I've been in Washington since I was about four.
Mm-hmm.
I lived before in California, New Orleans, Japan, all around.
You've been around, all right. What do you deal with in the air transport section of the Aviation Division of the Office of Transportation and Communication?
Our principal job is to see to it that our air carriers are able to operate in foreign countries, see that they get non-discriminatory treatment, that they get a square deal. Mm-hmm. We also worry about foreign carriers that want to do business with us.
Oh, I see. Well, you're fixing it up so that we can fly to London, Paris, Moscow, and way stations after the war?
That's our objective.
Good.
Well, we want to be able to fly everywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything to do with the aviation conference in Chicago?
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, was that as big as the United Nations San Francisco conference, that coming one will be?
Well, it was as large in a sense, but not nearly as important. The aviation conference was very important from the point of view of aviation, but aviation is but one phase of economics, transportation, whereas the San Francisco conference will have to consider the entire world and its organization, how everything will function under it. Obviously, much more important.
Mm. Well, we're intensely interested in that coming conference because, as you say, it's a chance to set up an organization, an international organization for peace and security. Now, could you tell us how such a conference is set up, what problems are involved?
Well, the list of problems involved is so long I could stand here all night telling you.
2 minutes, I'll say. In a nutshell.
The first thing to do is to find out who you're going to invite, how many can come, what rooms they will want for sleeping, for office space, how much furniture, where you're going to get it, what kind of transportation they want, whether they can get it or not, whether their wives can come, what kind of clothes to wear, so on. You have to arrange, in other words, everything just as so you are expecting guests from every country in the world with a variety of tastes and problems.
Mm-hmm. Do we pay all the bills while they're in this country?
Oh, indeed. We don't pay any of the bills.
Their own way.
Each country pays its own way. When we go abroad, we pay our way.
Well, I suppose you have a banquet. What do you feed all these different people?
Well, if we do have a banquet, and during war times, we seldom have much entertainment at conference. We're there to work, not to play. If we do, we just give them the same thing we eat ourselves. Good old American food.
You mean chicken and green peas and mashed potatoes and ice cream?
Sure, if you can find it.
Well, how do you know all this machinery you set up is going to work?
Well, you don't know it's going to work until you try. So we have what you call dry runs or practice sessions. Try it out, see what happens. Iron out the kinks.
Well, that's very interesting. We want to thank you, John, for that glimpse behind the scenes of a very all-important meeting. And we're glad we could talk to you. Roma Seltzer has for you something in which you can greet spring and Easter. It's a smart gray herringbone tweed topcoat. And to help you sleep well after arduous days in the air transport section, here's a new comfortable innerspring mattress. And there it is. And to keep you from oversleeping once you get on that, because you've got to sleep well, here is a very rare object, an alarm clock.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you, Mr. John Edwards.
All right, Bob. If it isn't one thing, it's another, says Ernie Chappell.
Yes, Park. There's always something, says Mrs. Smithington, when she wants Mr. S. to go out and play bridge. He doesn't like the people or he can't find the right tie. And tonight...
Oh, I can't play bridge with this headache.
But Mrs. S. is smart.
Here, darling, drink this Bromo Seltzer.
The wise woman who has Bromo Seltzer handy for just such family emergencies. And when common headache is made extra wretched by upset feeling and jumpy nerves, there are three reasons for turning to Bromo Seltzer. Bromo Seltzer acts three ways fast. It goes to work on common headache and then helps relieve that upset feeling, helps soothe those jangled nerves. You feel three ways better fast.
You see, dear, didn't I tell you?
Remember, next time a common headache strikes, get three-way relief fast. Don't be satisfied with single-acting aids. Get Bromo Seltzer. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo Seltzer comes in four popular sizes. Get a bottle tonight. Be ready to
fight a headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Say, Warren, what in the world are you doing down there in the audience?
Well, Parks, I'm looking for someone in the audience. I think she's here. Miss Amy Byam. Is she here? Miss Amy Byam?
Yeah, she is, Warren. Right there.
Oh, you're right here? Miss Byam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fine. Miss Byam, I just want to tell you, I guess you know, that all the people in the Secretariat are very, very anxious to go to that great conference at San Francisco. And so I bring good news to you. You are the first one selected by the personnel department to go to the United Nations San Francisco conference. How do you feel about it?
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure it's good.
There is the official duty for you right there.
Oh, boy. Well, Warren, while you're fanning the lady, throwing water on her, and bringing her back to life, we'll go on from up here on the stage. Ah, that is quite a wonderful thing, don't you know, to be the first one. Well, here the State Department's newest recruit. When he leaves the Walter Reed Hospital after his army discharge, we hope in a few days, he'll go to work here with the State Department. He was overseas for more than 2 years. He wears the insignia of a paratrooper. He's got a chest full of ribbons, a wife, a little daughter 2.5 years old. Folks from Yonkers, New York, a real soldier, First Lieutenant Rene Eugene Carroll. Rene, you're not nervous up here, are you?
Well, I am a little bit. This is a new experience for me.
Yeah? If this thing were a German, you'd know what to do with it, wouldn't you?
Well, if it was a German, I'd know, but this isn't a German.
Well, let's talk in a sort of buddy sort of a fashion here a minute. First of all, do you mind if I read your ribbons to the folks?
No, I guess not.
He's got the good conduct, good boy. He's got pre-Pearl Harbor. He's got the American Theater of Operations. He's got the European with 3 stars, say brother, and that parachute badge. You got more than that. Come on, where are the rest of your ribbons?
Pocket.
You mean you got them in your pocket?
Yeah.
Well, let me take a
look.
There's
a lot of questions.
Well, I happen to know that he also wears the Bronze Star, the Croix de Guerre, and a special FFI French medal for real bravery. How you feel about it? Yeah, he's broken. Say, Renee, is it in line to talk much about the work you did overseas as a paratrooper?
Well, it's probably better not to mention most of it because, well,
you were behind the enemy lines quite a bit, of course.
Yes, of course.
And in a lot of danger.
Well,
naturally you are. Any paratrooper, any man in uniform, any man in combat is at all times. That's understood. Say, the paratrooper's pretty grand outfit.
Yes, there is.
Tell me about your buddies.
Well, they're the grandest bunch of men that there are, and they're the best soldiers in the world, and that's the only answer there is to it.
The best in the world. Are you pretty close together, man to man?
Well, I think we're probably closer than any other outfits, although any time on the battlefield, you're a battle unit, you're a team, and that's what success depends on.
That's what is making our success, isn't it, overseas?
That's
Have you been home very long?
Well, I came home just before Christmas.
Ah, good. I'm curious to know where you met Ms. Carroll.
I met her in a Latin class in college.
Yeah? Where was that?
Noblin College in Ohio.
Did you have any idea then of coming to the State Department?
Well, that's what I was studying for, really.
And then you didn't, huh?
Well, times were getting pretty tough when I was offered a job in teaching, so I figured I'd better grab it while the grabbing was good.
And you taught, huh? Well, now, what gave you the idea of coming to the State Department after you get your discharge?
Well, I was trying to set myself up after the war, and so I went to the YMCA vocational service to prepare myself for a job after the war.
And they suggested the State Department?
They suggested this.
Good. They were on the job. That's in line with the State Department's program for returned servicemen. It's quite a big thing. One other little thing.
Your little daughter, you just barely saw before you went overseas. She was just born.
That's right.
Was it hard getting acquainted with her when you came back?
No, it was very simple, as a matter of fact.
How did it happen?
Well, the morning after I came home, why, I was still in bed. She crawled up on the bed and patted me on the cheek and kissed me and said, "Nice, Daddy."
Then you were in, huh?
Well, I just sat there and looked at her like a dummy.
I bet something else happened, but we won't go into that. One last thing, Renee, I would like to ask you. You and your buddies over there, you've been through hell, and you've seen plenty of your buddies who've never come back. What kind of a world are you looking for when it's all over?
Well, I think all of us are just looking for a world where we can come back to, live the way we want to, and to make sure that we won't have to do this again, and that our children won't have to go out and do this messy job all over again.
And the whole country's with all of you fellas, Renee. Carol. Well, time's slipping along, Renee. And now from good old Bromo Seltzer, some things. We know you're going to have your little apartment here very shortly with the wife. First, it's a deep spring cushion English lounge chair in your apartment to be. I hope you'll like to enjoy that. Second, for that two-year-old little beauty of yours, we've got a sturdy yet very cute doll carriage that'll carry three or four of her dolls with. You can ride her in it. And for your home again, we've got a long-wave, short-wave, policeman wave, rebuilt table model radio that's a wow, and we were lucky to find it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you a lot, Lieutenant Renee Eugene Carroll. Well, okay,
thank you, Bart.
You've heard of Government Girls, that great group of gals who've come to Washington to man the ship of state. Well, here's one who came from New Freedom, Pennsylvania, 3.5 years ago to work at the State Department. She's a clerk, stenographer, receptionist in the Communications Center of the Division of Central Services. Brown-eyed, charming, quick on the trigger, Phyllis Rohrbaugh. Phyllis, you still like Washington after all this time?
Indeed, I do.
You haven't been lonely here?
Indeed not. There's no man shortage around here, and there's lots to do.
There are plenty of prospects for a girl, eh?
Yes, indeed.
Well, in the old days, it didn't feel that way about it, huh?
No, we used to think this was a town of old maids, and if you come here, you have to spend all your nights alone. That isn't true.
You don't think you're going to be an old maid, do you?
Indeed not.
Now, tell us about this communication center where you work. What goes on there?
Well, we handle all the communications that come in from all over the world, and we also transmit them out all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's been called the nerve center. The cables and airgrams and all the domestic mail that comes in.
You mean from the more than 350 embassies, consulates,
right,
and legations all around the world?
Indeed, there are. And we route all the mail that comes into the department to our various divisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, suppose someone in another country wrote to President Roosevelt and congratulated him on his re-election.
Well, if that went directly to the White House, they would refer it to us, and we would send it down one of the consulates from the country which it came, mm-hmm, and they would answer it for us.
I see. Well, I suppose someone in this country wrote and said, "I know how to run the State Department. Why don't you do it this way?"
Well, we have a publicly assigned division, and they take care of all of that. They would get in touch with the proper parties and give them an intelligent answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean the State Department is very... State Department is very sensitive to public opinion, huh?
Yes, they are. They answer all mail, and they clip all newspaper editorials, and they keep a copy of all letters, and they try to answer as promptly as possible.
Well, have you met any of the top men in the department?
Yes, I have, indirectly.
Yeah.
When I first came, I was on the elevator with Mr. Hall. It was about 2 weeks after I arrived, and I was speechless. I couldn't say anything. He exchanged a few words, but I didn't get a thing said.
Oh, you didn't exchange.
No, I didn't exchange.
Well, how about Mr. Satanian?
Oh, well, one time he came up into our office. I was sitting there at the desk, and all of a sudden I heard someone say, "Good morning," and I looked up, and with his shock of white hair and dark eyebrows, and he said, "May I use your phone?" And I sat down at the desk, and he called the White House, and he said, "Hello, Steve. This is Ed." talked rather loud, and I thought at the time if we just opened the window, he could have called over.
you think that working here for the government's a good deal for a girl, don't you?
Indeed, I do.
Well, the State Department needs more girls.
Oh, yes, lots and lots of them.
Well, I'll tell you, any of you listening in, if you're interested, you just write to the chief of the personnel division, and that happens to be our good friend Ed Ward, over there in the State Department, and possibly you can come down here and join Phyllis and some of the others down here. Thanks, Phyllis, very much for the few minutes that have gone by like seconds, I'll tell you. And just so you won't forget us, Bromo Seltzer has for you this fine new camera. That's an Agfa with an F4.5 lens and a built-in rangefinder, and it's all housed in a handsome leather case. And knowing you love your love of the sport, here's one of the best balling tennis rackets with cover and press, and one dozen pre-war tennis balls, vacuum packed. And, oh, wait a minute. To help cool you off after the game, here's a flowered jersey bathing suit. It's the latest word, strapless with three-quarter cut trousers. Do you like that?
Indeed, I do.
Thanks and good luck to your Phyllis Warbaugh. Dave Grant's trying to model that.
Now, here's Ernie Chappell to talk your way out of a mighty unpleasant situation.
Thanks, Parks. Sure, friends, it's unpleasant to hug a common headache, sitting home while your friends have fun. But don't just feel sorry for yourself. Take steps. Try Bromo Seltzer. See how quickly it helps relieve common headache pain. How fast Bromo Seltzer goes to work to help settle accompanying upset feelings and jittery nerves. With Bromo Seltzer, you feel three ways better fast. And then, where's that phone? You're on your way to the party.
You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzy. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But be on guard when simple headache sneaks up. Reach for Bromo Seltzer. Get quick relief, three-way help for aching head, upset feeling, and nerves. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight. And then...
Fight headaches!
Mighty good advice, Ernie Chappell. Folks, as Warren said, the State Department does want young men and young women with proper background and training because there are many types of work now available, from typist to career men. For instance, here are three young men who've just finished a 5 weeks course in school, and they are headed overseas as United States vice consuls. I'm going to ask each one to introduce himself in order.
I'm Robert Houghton. I come from Berwick, Massachusetts, and I'm going to Nairobi, Kenya.
And?
I'm Hugh Everett Russell. I come from Ashland, Kentucky, and I'm going to Manchester, England.
I'm Arthur Metcalf. I come from Los Angeles. I'm going to Mazatlan on the west coast of Mexico.
Bob Houghton, how would you describe this school you've just finished here?
Well, I think it's... closer to the mic. I'd say it was the equivalent of the Army boot camp. It's
boot training, huh? Well, you, Russell, is Bob's description correct, would you say?
Well, it's pretty good, but we have pretty much the status of reserve officers, I think.
Say, Arthur Metcalf, what does he mean by reserve officer?
Well, have examinations to take, and they're coming up soon, and they're stiff.
Oh, what kind of examinations, Hugh?
Well, that's for the Foreign Service examination, sir, that makes us regular officers in the Foreign Service.
You're not regular, Bob, until you do pass that examination?
Uh-huh.
Say, Hugh, I understand you were in the Navy.
Yes, sir. I was in the Naval ROTC at the University of Virginia.
But they found that ear, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Say, you fellas going to report soon overseas?
I'm scheduled to leave for Mexico on next Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday, huh? Good work. Well, I hope you all enjoy your work when you get to your respective places. Could you fellas use some good sound advice?
I could.
You could? All right. Warren is standing by with an old-timer. I've got a hunch that they can tell you something that you will probably find useful. All right, Warren.
Well, you know, Parks has been talking with these three young men who are going out in the Foreign Service. Now, here's a man who's been in it. He's one of those career diplomats that you've read about. His home was in Rye, New York, but for the last 10 years, it's been in Naples, Berlin, Medan in Sumatra, and Lisbon, from which he recently returned for a home assignment. Marcellus C. Parsons. Can you tell us, in a nutshell, Mr. Parsons, what your position was in all these different places?
Well, for the first four posts, that I occupied, I went out as a vice consul.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Lisbon, I went as a vice consul. While I was there, I was transferred to the embassy and made a secretary of embassy.
Well, what's the difference between the two positions?
The difference is that consular officers look after American business interests abroad, private interests abroad, while American diplomatic officers look after the government's interests abroad.
Oh, well, that's something that I know I never knew before, so possibly some of the other people are enlightened, too. What part of your work did you like best?
Well, of course, there are a great many different phases to consular work. One of the most interesting is trade promotion. That means fostering American exports abroad.
Well, give us an example of how that might work with you.
Take, for instance, when I was in the Netherlands Indies. At that time, it was before the war broke out, the natives there, 70 million strong, had been buying flat irons to do their wash with,
Mm-hmm.
Each flat iron was sold, came equipped with a little gilded rooster on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the war broke out in Europe, where these were manufactured, you could no longer get them in the Netherlands Indies. And the natives, of course, had to find another source for these things. But we were approached, and they said, what can you do in the United States? So it was my task to try and find some manufacturer in this country who could produce an iron of that type and have a symbol, something like that rooster, on the front, because everything is bought by symbol rather than by name.
Oh, well, that's a big part of your work, then.
That's a lot.
I see. Well, if we're going to keep up a high level of employment after the war, we'll need lots of foreign trade, won't we?
We certainly will, because in the difference, in the amount of export trade that we have may lie the difference between a profit or loss.
With a corporation?
With a corporation.
Well, that is a big difference. Now, these three fellows are listening here. What's the most important advice that you can give to them, these young vice consuls, as they go out to work and represent us around the world?
Well, in a nutshell, I feel it's this. Wherever they go, they must always remember that they represent the whole of the United States, from Canada to the Mexican border, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Every friend that they make abroad is a friend for, not only for themselves, but a friend for the United States. And every friend is another link in forging the chain of international confidence.
Well, that puts it very well, and we want to thank you, Mr. Parsons. You know, everyone listening will appreciate the Foreign Service even more for having heard you say that.
Warren, before we finish here, I want to get these three young vice consuls back. Come here, fellas. Did you learn of anything there that'll do you any good?
I think so.
Did you get any additional advice, Bob or Hugh? One of you, I heard say something that was very cute the other day. I've forgotten what it was. The fellow that lasts the longest, what's that?
You mean that serves the most and drinks the least?
Yeah, that's it. The fellow that serves the most and drinks the least lasts the longest. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, As I say, we hope that you all enjoy your various assignments. And now, Bromo Seltzer's got for each of you three the same thing, you brand new vice consul. First, a magazine, subscription to a magazine that all consuls seem to enjoy reading very much. It's called Foreign Affairs. You know it, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that all right? And again, for each one of you, a gift order for a new suit in which to start your State Department career. Now, that suit, you got to fit it to your geography. You down in Africa, don't you know? And you in Mexico need something else. And oh, yes, we've got three headpieces. First is a derby. Give it to our friend going to Manchester. Second, a sombrero for a Mexican friend, and a sun helmet for our gentleman going to Africa. All right, Warren, and how about friend Parsons?
You want to hear, Mr. Parsons? Bromo Seltzer has, not for you, Mr. Parsons, but for little Marcellus III, a sturdy maple high chair with a drop leaf tray, as it were. For Mrs. Parsons, the nest of tables, they're mahogany and Sheraton style and lovely. And so you can enjoy the country roads this spring with Mrs. Parsons, who has one. Here's a freewheeling bicycle rebuilt and raring to go. Thank you for being with us. Good luck to you.
Okay, well, folks. Parsons. Yes, sir, it's time to move on, but let's remember that worldwide cooperation for peace is our own personal business. Let's think about it, talk about it, and thus help our government make it succeed.
And next week, the 1st Combat Infantry Band. Every one of its 56 members, a veteran of bloody battles in some theater of war. The 1st Combat Infantry Band will be playing for their wounded buddies at Wakeman General Hospital near Columbus, Indiana. And we can promise you a lively half hour.
Remember, Vox Pop next Monday, and tell a neighbor to tune in too, won't you? Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
The Emerson Drug Company takes this opportunity to remind you of the vital work being done by your public health nurse, your visiting nurse, your school nurse, and your industrial nurse. Know your public health nurse better. Know the unselfish service she gives you and your community. With the war making tremendous demands on the American nursing profession overseas, American public health nurses are taking on a great task of keeping us well at home. The Emerson Drug Company salutes these American women who are protecting our fighting strength on the home front. Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit with members of the 1st Combat Infantry Band at Wakeman General and Convalescent Hospital, Edinburgh, Indiana. And remember,
fight headaches three ways.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.